Good morning to Radha, Kala, Chunji, Dham, to all the assembled devotees, always those that I can see with my material eyes and those that I'm at present not able to see with the spiritual eyes that we all have, and in time, place, and circumstances we're giving them. I always am appreciative for the devotees that show, that are here in the morning, because it is austere for most of us because we're not babies anymore, but those that have been brought up in ISKCON find it very easy, regardless of the weather or circumstances, to bounce right up in the morning. And I'm also grateful, it's nice to say what we're grateful for, but I'm also grateful for the opportunity to come and learn again and again from reading Srimad Bhagavatam, because you never get everything all at one time. Each time you read, there's something new, and each time you read the same scripture, Sanskrit verse, you pick up something totally different. So as you are, I am also. And always I ask in advance for the mercy of my Gurudev, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Guru Parampara, all the Vaishnavas, so that there can be something imparted from them through me to you, so that these couple of minutes that I'm here is not a total waste of your time. Always happy to be given the opportunity, but before we start, we always like to get the mercy of Krishna.
Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jayarada Madhava.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Kunja Bihari, Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dari, 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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Natira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Munatira Vanachari, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chara Ranjanan, 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 Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, 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 Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dari, Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dari, Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dari, Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Kiraraga Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Kalachandri Radha Kalachandri Radhe Radha Kalachandri Radha Kalachandri Radhe Jaya Radha Kalachandri Radha Kalachandri Radhe Radha Kalachandri Radha Kalachandri Radhe Jaya Jaya Gonitai 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 Jaya Jaya Gonitai Jaya Jaya Gonitai 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 Jaya Jaya Gonitai Jaya Jaya Jagannath 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jagannath Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Subhadra. Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Nitai Goro Haribol, 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 Nitai Goro Haribol, Nitai Goro Haribol, 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 Nitai Goro Haribol. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So let's see if I remember today to always ask for forgiveness if information is misquoted due to my imperfect memory or whatever imperfections or mistakes. Blame me, not my guru. He gave the information as perfectly as he could have, based on instructions from his guru, Srila Prabhupada. So look at it as a learning curve up here. We're covering Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 16, Text 31. And text 31 didn't have a purport, so we're going to go on also to text 32, even though we didn't have room to write it up here. We'll just repeat the Sanskrit in 31, and then word for word, and then we'll do the word for word for text 32. And chapter 16 is talking about the Lord's opulences. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gnana Tamarandasya Gnanjanan Chalakaya Chakshumilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam. Text 31. Vayavasayanam aham lakshmi kitavanam chalagraha tatikshasmi tatikshunam sadvam sadva vatam aham vayavasayanam aham lakshmi kitavanam chalagraha tatikshasmi tatikshunam Sadva sadva vatam aham. Diyavasayanam aham lakshmi. Kitavanam chalagraha. Tatikshasmi tatikshunam. Sadva sadva vatam aham. Does anyone want to repeat? Diyavasayanam aham lakshmi. Kitavanam chalagraha. Tatikshami tatikshunam. Sattva sattva vatam aham. Vyavashayinam aham lakshmi. Kitavanam chalagraham. Tatikshasmi tatikshunam. Sattva sattva vatam aham. Vyavashayanam aham lakshmi. Kitavanam chalagraham. Tatikshasmi tatikshunam. Sadva sadva vatam aham. Word for word. Vyavashanam. Of the enterprising. Aham. I am. Lakshmi. Fortune. Kitavanam. Of cheaters. Chalagraha. The gambling. Tatiksha. The forgiveness. Asmi. I am. Tatikshanam. Among the tolerant. Sattvam. The goodness. Sadvavatam. Among those in the mode of goodness. Aham. I am. Then the translation here is among the enterprising, I am fortune. And among the cheaters, I am gambling. I am the forgiveness of the tolerant and the good qualities of those in the mode of goodness. Now, each time I've read the text in the Lord's, the chapter 16 of the Lord's opulences, when there's a comparison, I'm thinking, okay, so the Lord's comparing, okay, he's comparing one thing with another, but then I look at this and I look at among the enterprising, I am fortune. And to me, and of course, everybody's interpretation is totally individual, but to me, that sounds like he's the end result of whatever the goal is in that particular situation. And among the forgiveness, one has to be tolerant. So that's a good quality. And of course, the good qualities, Hare Krishna, and of the good qualities, the mode of goodness. So it's always whatever, probably not always, but from what I'm getting, it whatever is the process, I am the end result, and the end result is positive here because it is the Lord. And that's the nice part about everyone being separate entities, totally separate entities. We don't always think the same. We can come up with conclusions that are similar, but our interpretations can be different, and that's okay too. Text 32, because, and as I said, because there was no room on the board to put it, I'll just read through it and then we'll do the word for word, because this one has a purport. Ojahasaho balavatam kamaham vidi sadvatam sadvatam navamurtanam adimuti aham para. Ojahasaho balavatam kamaham vidi sadvatam sadvatam navamurtanam adimuti aham pura para. Ojaha saho balavatam kamaham vidi sadvatam sadvatam navamurtanam adimuti aham para. And here, ojaha is the sensory strength. Saha is the mental strength. Balavatam is of the strong. Kama, the devotional activities. Aham, I am. Vidi, please know. Sattvatam, among the devotees. Sattvatam, again, among those devotees. Navamurtanam, who worship me in nine forms. Adimurti, the original form. Vasudev, aham, I am. Para, the supreme. And the translation here is of the powerful I am bodily and mental strength. And I am the devotional activities of my devotees. My devotees worship me in nine different forms, among which I am the original primary Vasudev. Generally, a purport, generally the Vaishnavas worship the personality of Godhead as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Narayana, Hayagriv, Varaha, Narasimha, and Brahma. It is understood that when a suitable living entity is not possible to fill the post of Brahma, the Lord himself assumes the position. Therefore, Lord Brahma is mentioned in the list. Lord Vishnu sometimes appears as Indra, and sometimes as Brahma, and it is Vishnu appearing as Brahma who is indicated in this connection. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimadi Bhakti Tirtha Swami Iti Namane. In chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita, this similar topic is being explained to Arjuna as it is to Uddhava in the canto in this particular chapter 16. And I kept trying to figure out what can I say differently about this. Yes, the Lord is the best of the best and the most of the most and the supreme, the topmost. But what else can I say? Then I thought about why is it being said
and repeat it over and over again. And I read in the beginning of chapter 10 that, of course, these subjects, the six opulences of the Lord and the opulence itself, topics about the Lord should be discussed in the association of devotees. And because the Lord is discussing it with Uddhava, who is as dear to him as Arjuna, then those that are hearing this for the first time, if not for the first time, for the umpteenth time, then obviously you must be near and dear to the Lord. These topics are also discussed in order to increase the commitment of devotional service among devotees. And you will find that it's done repeatedly over and over again. And there is a purpose behind it. I'm not getting, I know there's exact wording, but I'm giving it to you how I am interpreting it or am reading it back to you. And it says, the more one hears about the Supreme God, and this is in the Opulence of the Absolute, chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita, first text 1, the more one hears about the Supreme God, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. It goes on to say that one should always hear about the Lord in the association of the devotees, because that will enhance one's devotional service. Discourses in the society of devotees can take place only among those who are really anxious to be in Krishna consciousness. And the exception is others cannot take part in such discourses, meaning those that have no interest in Krishna consciousness. And because we are in the age of Kali Yuga, you will hear, you may hear a number of devotees who come up and read, and they'll go through various chapters of a particular canto, and you'll find the same thing is being said, but in a different way. It is to our benefit, and we should be very happy whether we get it the first time, whether it is said in such a way that clicks with us. The point is, this information is done to increase our commitment in devotional service. And in this day and age, we need whatever it takes to keep us fixed in our devotional service, because it's so easy to fall off into the mode of ignorance. There's so many distractions in the material world. In the text 32, it talks about the different personalities of the Lord that are worshipable. And of course, probably all of you know these personalities, but the primary ones, what do they call it? The Vishnu Tattva, their primary personalities. And that would be Vasudev. Vasudev is the father of Lord Krishna, and Baladev is Balaram is the brother. So Balaram and Krishna can be described as Vasudev. Both of them are, however, worshipable. And getting back to the Vishnu Tattva covers Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Anuradha. And just briefly, because we're not going to go into it, Pradyumna
is the son of Krishna, and Anuradha is the grandson. And Anuradha has characteristics that are similar to Krishna, so he is considered worshipable as Krishna. Varaha is the form of the boar, and in this particular form of the Lord is the boar, he's rescuing the universe that has been tossed into the ocean by Hiranyaksha, the brother of Hiranyakasipu. And of course, Narayana, of course, is the Lord. Hayagriva is the form, the horse head form of the Lord. And he stands for knowledge. And what is the other thing? If someone... he represents knowledge and wisdom. And one of my most favorite ones is Nisrima. And that's the form of the incarnation of the Lord as half lion and half man. And in this particular form, he rescues Prahlad Maharaj, who is the son of the demon Hiranyakasipu. And of course, he is worshipable. Brahma is unique. Brahma is will take the form if in any particular universe there is not a suitable form of Brahma. The Lord will take the form of Brahma as well as taking the form of Indra. And as I said, in the scriptures here in 31 and 32 and all the texts, that fall under chapter 16. All of this is done to enhance our devotion, to enhance our commitment. In previous chapters, the Lord gave descriptions of who he was and what purpose it served. Is it Gyana Yoga? And Karma Yoga. Yeah, those two I wanted to bring up. Because in Karma Yoga, one is aware of who the Lord is, but he's so much... Well, he knows the goal of life, let's just say that. Karma Yoga knows the goal of life, but he's so busy with enjoying the fruits of the activities of the Lord. In Gyana Yoga, and I'm just kind of going into the previous chapters where the Lord was explaining this and that, the yogas, and this is an example. But in Gyana Yoga, one enjoys the pleasure of speculating, in mental speculation on the goals of life. And even though they are not direct paths to devotional service, they will get one to that path eventually. But it is a waste of time. But you ever come across someone that's so full of knowledge, they know this about the Lord, they know the Sanskrits, they know, they have the memory, they remember all of this, but the essence of it as far as devotional service, it's important, but it means absolutely nothing if you're not in the mood of bhakti yoga or devotional service. And also knowing the goal of life, but just enjoying, which is what you see a lot of the young people, the older groups doing now. Some have come up in ISKCON, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. You know the goals, but you are in the mode right now of enjoying so much because that's what's happening in the universe right now. Everyone is enjoying. We need to hear this repeatedly
over and over again until we grasp the understanding that in spite of all the enjoying of the benefits of knowing the goal of life, it's like, I got this, but let me enjoy that. In spite of all that, in spite of knowing the path to take to the Lord or to God consciousness or Krishna consciousness, in spite of all that, what is most important is bhakti yoga, is the devotional service. But the Lord does this description, gives the descriptions of his opulences, again, for our benefit. And it's like, if you understand that I have strength, knowledge, wealth, fame, what are the other ones? There are six opulences. Renunciation. Did I miss any? Beauty. I've got all of this. But yet and still you find it very difficult to worship me, to serve me. What more does it take? So it's almost similar to the old story of the farmer and the donkey. And I guess the new hand on the ranch. You know, the guy's trying to figure out, how do I get this animal to move? And he's doing everything possible to get the donkey to move. And then the farmer tells him that he's not doing it properly. And the farmer looks over on the road and he picks up a 2x4. And he pops the donkey upside the head. And he says, first of all, you have to get his attention. Well, the Lord is very loving and compassionate with us. He gives it to us very lovingly. He backs it up with anything that we need to be to come to the conclusion that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, you hear, you know, for instance, you hear the title Lord. And when I was reading the scriptures, it's like, why did they say the Supreme Lord? Because, I think, is it in England, they still say Lord William of Nottingham or the House of Lords. In the scriptures, it make no mistake, the Lord is described as the Supreme Lord. There is no misunderstanding. Whatever it is that it takes for us to understand that the Lord is the Supreme Personality, the Lord of all Lords, that getting to him or back to him is our goal, the scriptures are giving us this information over and over again. So I pray that no matter how many times someone else that comes before me or after me repeats it, that you'll get it and that you'll understand. Because you have people that have been in the movement for a year, for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And if you hang in there long enough, something will click. Even if someone came into the movement the same, came into Krishna consciousness at the same time you did, if things are happening for them, there's a reason that it's happening for them. The point is, don't ever give up your Krishna consciousness, your God consciousness, because everyone succeeds in their own time frame. But, as I said, we're given so much information. These instructions in the scriptures are not just leelas and stories that have taken place. They are lessons that we can use in life. All of them are lessons. And one day, it will finally hit us. I got this. Now I understand. And your biggest motivation from getting it is to see how much you can serve another devotee.
Because Krishna doesn't want anything from us. Krishna has everything. Doesn't need a thing. Doesn't need us to dress him. Doesn't need to do anyone. Krishna can pick anyone to dress them, to cook for him. Doesn't have the desire or need to eat if he doesn't want to. Whatever it is, he can perform his own the services that we do. But he gives us the opportunity to do it because he knows that if we're doing it properly and if we're serving his devotee, that eventually we will understand the importance of serving others. We're going to serve somebody eventually. Wherever we are, we're serving a corporation. We're serving a wife or a husband or a child or a dog or a cat. We're serving someone. Why not serve the highest personality, who is God? Basically, the instructions are all here in the scriptures on how to do, what to do. Ending text 31 and 32, there were a couple of other points that I wanted to make. Let's see, one was in the description of the Lord. It was Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10. I was reading over whenever I have an opportunity to read, because none of us know everything, and it's good to remember that. It's always good to go back and to refer. Let's see if this is suitable to read to you. I thought I was going to remember this, the shloka, but it's okay. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prati purvakam dadami buddhi yugam ta yenamam upanyatite. And what the Lord is saying is, for those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. And there was a section here in chapter 10 that I thought it was nice to read it. And of course, a person may have a bona fide spiritual master, maybe attached to a spiritual organization, but if he is still not intelligent enough, this is where the Lord is so merciful. You know, you've got all the little ducks in a row, everything lined up. But if you're not intelligent enough to make progress, then the Lord within, Krishna within, gives him the instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. And that's why I was saying in this chapter 16, the Lord talks about his opulences. Previous chapters, he tells you about his different energies. He's giving you information upon information upon information. And then it says here, if you still don't understand it, the Lord in the heart, your sincerity, and you have to be sincere about it, but the Lord in the heart will come to you and he will help you to get the instructions to come to him. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness. Now, you have a lot of people that are, a lot of us are engaging in Krishna consciousness. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to ever say I'm perfect. And we may be serving the Lord. We may be cooking. We may be cleaning the temple. But we don't have the right attitude. We don't have that family-like attitude that we're all one big family. Well, even the Lord is tolerant of that. Keep doing it. Just keep serving. And, of course, eventually the Lord in the heart will give you eventually the instructions to come to him. Always, if you... I remember there's a saying in one of Srila Prabhupada's books, if you can't do this, do that. If you can't do that, do this. If you can't do this. We have so many different ways to serve. And because we're in Kali Yuga and the Lord knows the energy around us is imperfect, we're given so many opportunities. That is why now, because we're in the age of Lord Chaitanya's movement, there are so many different entities coming from other worlds that want to come to the planet Earth because Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. The Lord is very merciful in his mood of Lord Chaitanya. So it is, and it should not be difficult to become a devotee at this time. But sometimes we complicate matters for ourselves. The other point is, as far as performing devotional service with love and devotion, a person should perform some sort of work for Krishna. And again, remember, that work shouldn't be done grudgingly. It shouldn't be done, somebody asked me, I'll do it. It should be done with love. If you are unable to love that person that you're doing it for, it takes challenges to love somebody. And sometimes among devotees, we can be the most difficult to love sometimes because we can be challenging. But if you don't have love for that person, at least have love for Krishna, and Krishna will see you the rest of the way. If a devotee, again, is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain him. So if nothing else can be taken away from what was said in these brief moments, the point is, wherever you are right now, if you're listening to the scriptures, if you've heard the scriptures, if you've had the opportunity to be in touch with a devotee, and I think I said this last time, take full advantage of it. Pray to Krishna that eventually, by whatever method is suitable for you, because everybody has a different rasa relationship with Krishna. Everybody goes through different things. There's some similarities, but we all have unique things that we need to do in order to get to Krishna. Pray to Krishna, and Krishna will never let you down. Krishna takes care of his devotees, and ultimately all of us are devotees in our heart. We just don't realize it. That's why it is important that if you come across a sincere devotee, take advantage of it. If you have an opportunity to come across a devotee and take advantage of it, sit in on a lecture, listen to sannyasis and gurus that are coming in, find a bona fide spiritual master. You need an instructor. You need an instructor. You need a teacher. Now, Krishna here is in form on the altar. It was the Archavigraha. We need to see the Lord. We're fortunate enough to have the mercy of the temples that are here
in the United States that have the deity form, because it is the Lord's form. We need it because our senses are so thick. We can't just in our mind, I don't know anybody that can do this, that in their mind they can worship the Lord and not have some type of association. We have the opportunity to have the association of the Lord in the form of Radha Kalachanji here in the Dham. In Mayapur Dham is Radha Madhava. Vrindavan Dham is Krishna Balaram. We have the opportunity to have the audience of the Lord, and we should take full advantage of it. We should be drinking up the form of the Lord, just taking it all in, so that when we walk away, the Lord that we've seen is in our mind, and we can relate to that when we're doing our japa, when we're thinking about the Lord. We need constant association of the Lord. We need constant association of devotees. And when your sincerity is such, the Lord will give you an opportunity to actually see him. And that's a wonderful, absolutely wonderful event when you can actually see the Lord. But everyone doesn't get that opportunity, because some people are just meant to be fixed in sense gratification, in the mood of ignorance, or in the mode of ignorance. So my prayer is that as often as possible, take association of the devotees, of sincere devotees. Come to the temple, listen to the scriptures. Even if you're new and you're hearing this and you don't know anyone, as I was saying, pray to Krishna. He will arrange that if you need to understand, and you, of course, you need to understand the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna will arrange the right atmosphere for you to come in association with devotees that can teach you what the Bhagavad Gita is about. Whatever your desire is to know the Lord and understand the Lord, especially if you don't right now, pray. As devotees, we can still pray. We chant, and that's still a prayer. But the Lord is like a parent. A parent knows a child wants something, but it's kind of nice when the child comes to the parent and says, Mom, can I have this? Dad, I really need this. It's like, oh, you need me. Krishna likes to hear from us too, so the idea of praying should not be something that's obsolete with devotees. I do it every chance I get. And even if you think the Lord does not understand your prayers, or they don't seem to make sense to you and they don't come out the way you want them to, it's not very eloquent, the prayer, don't worry about it. The Lord knows your heart. So constantly, devotees, chant, read the scriptures, have nice association, have good association of devotees. And then what you do is you take that association and you give it back to others. So it would, as I said, I always would love to see a world full of God-conscious people. Let's see, how much am I going beyond my time? I've been pretty good about this. Yep, close. So does anyone have any comments or corrections or any realizations that you might want to share about, if not the Lord's opulences, maybe some of your experiences in sharing Krishna consciousness? Yes, yes, Hare Krishna, Nirottam, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thanks so much for coming over this morning.
Mm, thank you.
I have a funny example that Srila Prabhupada gives about being a servant.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you have an old typewriter. Remember those old typewriters that you
yes.
push down on the key and
yes.
the hammer? Yes, the Prabhupada's using that, and he makes the noise. The Prabhupada makes the noise of what is it? Click, 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 click. Yeah, there you got it perfectly.
I remember them.
So Prabhupada said, whether you press that typewriter in your office or whether you throw it into the bottom of the ocean, it will go clack, clack, clack,
yes,
clack, clack. So he was making the point about that whether, you know, we become, you know, some great personality or whether we're, you know, whatever, the most mm-hmm. common person, we still remain the servant.
Yes.
The servant.
Still. Yes.
You know, so that idea of being the enjoyer, being the controller, all of those things, you know, it just doesn't change the actual, that service mood.
We're always in the mood of serving someone, and I can't think of anyone better to serve than Krishna. The goal is more permanent than serving a corporation. Corporations come and corporations go, and depending on whether or not they like you, they'll keep you or they won't keep you, or you'll end up going out on a stretcher and they'll pull someone else in your place. Nothing permanent there. And unfortunately, I don't like to say it, but some relationships are like that. If you're not doing the same thing you were doing, whatever it took to get that love of your life, when you lose that connection, person you were serving, they want to serve someone else. They no longer want to serve you. The point I'm making and the point you're making is that you're going to be you're going to be a servant of someone. And sometimes that's the biggest challenge because people think service means, oh, it's demeaning, but you're serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when you get that and understand that that's who you're serving, the whole process is so sweet. It's like you want to do it again and again, even if you don't have energy. You still want to do it because you get a satisfaction from doing it. And I see people dragging themselves, but their, you know, health, energy, mind sometimes, but I need to serve Krishna because I enjoy. There's an enjoyment that you get from it. When we can understand that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that some time ago there was a popular Mayavadi spiritual master, and he came to a program that the devotees were also part of. Mm-hmm. So he asked the audience, why do you want to become a member of the Hare Krishna movement? He said, they will teach you how to be servants. He said, if you follow me, I will teach you how to become the master. And everyone is applauding. So you're saying this, there's satisfaction, but people seem to be more attracted to becoming the master than being the servant. So what is your rebuttal?
The master of what? Are they being taught to become the master of what?
God. He's saying that he will teach them to become God.
That is definitely someone in the mode of ignorance because they don't know. You can't be, how can you be master when you didn't even create, when you didn't, you know nothing about yourself, you know nothing about your past.
I have my wife loaded up with gold. I have a beautiful new Mercedes. I'm a leader of a big corporation. I have a $700,000 home. I'm superior to you in every way.
And where did it all come from? It just didn't just drop out of the sky.
My hard work.
Your hard work.
It's the result of my
and your mind. I mean, you just created the mind and you have the intelligence because your mind has created the intelligence. We are all unique individuals and everything that we've been given has been given to us by the Lord. We didn't do anything on our own. We cannot do anything on our own. We cannot even live indefinitely in these bodies on our own. So how can we be master? If you're master of whatever, that means that you've mastered the art of living forever and ever. We cannot, because we have not, because we are not masters. We have to understand who the real master is, who the real Lord is, who the Supreme Lord is, and stop fooling ourselves. And after we've hit our head up against the brick wall a couple of times, eventually, probably right before we're leaving the bodies, then we understand something's not happening right. And then we call on Lord. There has to be someone else besides myself and what's been going on, because it's gotten me to this point. The body's imperfect. The body's falling apart. I said I was master of this. You're master of absolutely nothing. And that's when you really start to get the intellect. That's when you become intelligent. When you really see who we are in relationship to the Lord. And it is not a minor thing to be the servant of the Lord. It's the master of the universe. Why would I not want to serve him? I don't want anything from him, because he knows everything I need. And he will give whatever it is I need, he will give me. What do I need to be master of? I can't. I can't even be master of myself.
I mean, when I think about it, being the master is actually a source of stress.
It is the source of stress. It was like, where was the story I read where, was it one of the devotees here that placed the story in the Back to Godhead? Was it last night I read it, and the devotee wanted, the person wanted kind of like to be the Lord because they didn't think the Lord was doing a proper job. No, it's probably in the newspaper, because I like to read and know what's going on at least once a week. And the names change, but, you know, still the same old stuff. But the person tries to take over the position of the Lord. Yeah, it was an old movie. The person tries to take over the position of the Lord, to be the Lord. So they want to give the Lord, people are coming to them, and it's a movie.
Yeah,
it's a movie, and you probably know the name of it. But anyway, people are coming to this person, they want this and they want that, and it's so overwhelming. It's so much work. So the person taking the role of the Lord starts granting them everything, and then that just creates even more confusion. And it's so overwhelming that they finally go back to the Lord and say, Lord, you take it. This is too much for me. I don't know if it was Lord Almighty with Jim Carrey, or I can't remember who it was. But it was giving an example of a person trying to be Lord. And that's interesting, because we're here because we were trying to be Lord. We just could not be satisfied with being servants and having everything given to us in the spiritual world. We wanted to know what it was like. So the Lord created the atmosphere in the material world, this earth planet, for us to play out the scenario until we get enough. And then we realize that we never had it so good.
There's a funny YouTube film that you can see. It's a comedy. It's a famous actor.
What?
It's a short clip. It's called Gus Porter, the American Mountain Man.
Okay, I haven't heard of that one.
But anyway, he ends up, he's a bear. He goes to trap a bear, and he ends up in Canada in the forest. And this bear bites him, and he's bleeding to death. And the Canadian Mounties come there, and they're really, really nice, and they try to help him. Anyway, I don't want to ruin the comedy of it, but it's really in support of what you're talking about. And you'll see there, because the American Mountain Man, he refuses to accept any medical help because he's outside of his insurance zone.
Ooh. Wait, is this something recent that just came out?
It's a comedy film. So
In the United States?
Yeah, some friends of mine sent me clips of funny things, you know, and this was one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, I'll leave it at that. Hey, the thing is, I wanted to ask this question. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this description that you've read today. It's very beautiful. And, but, you know, I was questioning, okay, you know, somebody wins the Super Bowl, so they're the best of all the football teams, or somebody, you know, is the richest person, or somebody is this, or is that. So what's the difference between, you know, being the winner of the Super Bowl and what you're describing here about Krishna? You know, he's the best, he's just the best of, you know, so someone could say, well, yeah, you're the best. You're the best, you know, secretary, or the best this, mm-hmm. or the best that. So, you know, it's, okay, the Lord's the best of these things, so what? I mean, it doesn't really change my life who wins the Super Bowl.
Right, but when you say what's the difference between someone being the best in the Super Bowl or the best secretary or whatever, they are until someone else comes along. There's always going to be someone worse or someone better than you, no matter what position you're in this world. Someone's going to come along and top it. Even with our children, our children's generation, and our children are supposed to be better than we are. There is supposed to be some improvement. With the Lord, you can't not top the Lord. The Lord is the supreme. There is no one else higher. The scriptures have said, they've said it, it's been written, and some of us have been fortunate enough to have association with the Acharyas to know there is no one else above the Lord. That is why it is the supreme, the Lord of Lords, the supreme absolute. You cannot top. MC Hammer, you can't touch this. You can't top the Lord. That's the nice part about it. I know I'm serving the best because there is no one else better than that. And how do I know that? Because I've tried to hang in there long enough, and I've had the experiences that no matter who's come along in my life, the Lord has always been there. I don't even remember how many times He saved me and served in ways that I can't even remember. Nobody else has ever done that. Yes, Naratam.
So, you know, we're describing Krishna as the best of everyone, you know, the best, and the you know, it can never be topped in anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was describing Krishna as, like, you gave that definition of Bhagavan that, you know, has these opulences, six opulences to an unlimited degree. So, you know, in the course of a conversation, one lady, she said, well, I don't want to love somebody like that. She said that, you know, somebody who's so great, so this, so that, it makes them like, you know, just, you know, like somebody that's just too much, you know. They're always better than everybody else. They're always, you know, wealthier. They always have like this top, you know, shelf, you know, persona.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to love somebody like that. This lady said that to me. So what would be your response to her?
Wow.
You know, kind of like Liberace, or I'm just throwing that out.
you would throw out Liberace?
Yeah.
You couldn't reach for something else? You know, you'd have to wonder about that person's concept of love. What do they want? First of all, it's like everyone has their own desires. There are some people that will always be comfortable in the lower mode, that don't want anything higher than that because they're content. This earth and the lower planets are perfect for them. There are some people that probably have never really understood what it's like to have the experience
of loving someone that's that big, that's that powerful, it's hard to respond to that one, because I think I would always want the best of the best. And I would go ahead, and I would not want anything inferior, because I would think that I deserve the best. And besides, I know that we all do, because Krishna's my father, mother, father, Krishna is it. So I know I deserve the best. Why would I want anything inferior? Yes, how he describes love, how the association of Radha and Krishna, that relationship, that love, I want to understand that. I don't want anything inferior than that. Besides, it feels good. It feels very good to serve Krishna. I don't know anybody else that I've not gotten that feeling, permanent, ongoing feeling from anybody else. I'd have to wonder about this person's lifestyle, what they've been through in life, not to want to love the best.
Well, that's Prabhupada's argument about the Mayavadis. He's saying, you know, people get so disturbed and disgusted and hard-hearted in their materialistic relationships that they just want to annihilate all relationships and just, you know, end their personal existence. That's, he said, that's probably the root of that, of impersonalism. That's what makes impersonalism attractive. And on top of it, you get to be God. You merge into the Brahman. You destroy any chance of having any relationship because you're disgusted with it. And on top of it, then you're the Supreme. So here you go. It's like the perfect fit. But you know what? I told the lady, I said, look, even though Krishna has these supreme and unlimited potencies, in fact, everything that we are, we are Krishna's energy also. Everything that we see is Krishna's energy. I said, but he still maintains this very beautiful human-like, you know, middle-sized kind of a charming personality that, and he's very subservient to those who love him. He never exercises that, you know, ego of...
Never.
I didn't know Liberace, by the way, but I just...
I know you're always reaching out there. You're always out on the fringe. I think that's what we love about you, Narottam. But yes, I understood what you were saying. But yes, yes, I agree with you. I've never come across anyone that felt like that. They would not want to have the association of someone like that. Uh-huh. I mean, don't you wonder? I mean, about what they've been through in life.
Okay, I have something serious, but do we have time? Oh, it's 8:45. Do you want me to ask?
Go ahead.
Okay, recently,
we'll do it.
In North Dallas, a big Radha Krishna temple has opened. And I met, it's called Radha Madhava Dham. It's a $20 million facility. It's in Plano, north of Plano, between Plano and Frisco. And I met the lady who's instrumental in opening it. She's a lawyer, American woman. Mm-hmm. She came to my book table at the India Bazaar in Irving. And she really talked to me, and she bought some of Prabhupada's books, and some of the other women that work with her also bought books from me, and some real high-level books. I mean, they were looking for things like more rasika than, you know, philosophy. Mm-hmm. And... more dealing with Krishna's pastimes than with philosophy. And they were very nice, you know. They were very cordial and friendly and respectful and supportive of what we do. But on the other hand, so anyway, the lady, and it was quite a unique feat that she did building this temple. She took her entire life savings, which accumulated to about $2 million.
Mm.
And she spent it entirely to open this temple. So she was like the person who put down the foundation, the deposit on the property, and, you know, organized everything, you know. So it's quite laudable. And, however, the guru that, that they follow and that's, featured in this temple, he's quite well known. He just passed away recently. However, he has taken Prabhupada's teachings and he's quite knowledgeable, but ultimately he describes that he's Srimati Radharani himself.
Oh.
And he says that he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the combined form of Radha and Krishna, and sometimes Lord Chaitanya would appear even as Srimati Radharani. It's described that like that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he portrays himself in that position.
Oh, Krishna.
And even he's quite an old man that's quite, I want to use the word creepy.
Ah.
Looking, I've seen him in person a number of times in Vrindavan, but he's like, they have pictures of him like hugging trees with a little quote about how he's Radharani and stuff
that,
you know? Okay, so here's my question now. Okay? They've opened this big temple, and they've opened a number of temples also in Vrindavan and also in Austin. And previously, they would only put the deity of Radharani on the altar. Mm. And they separate Radha and Krishna. Mm. But this temple, they haven't done that.
Never.
This lady's more kind of in touch, like, with the culture and also with Prabhupada's teachings. They're reading Prabhupada's books also. But, so they've installed the really beautiful Radha and Krishna deities. It's a big, impressive temple. And now, many devotees and friends of our temple, congregational members, are going there. And this is a project, you know, it was put in North Dallas, the Plano, Frisco area, because there was no Radha Krishna temple there, and there's many families there. And they were, you know, she was able to put that seed money down and yet literally raised the $20 million for this project from that community. So some of my friends, devotee friends, who have gone there and even helped with some of the installation festivities and everything, and they were telling me, wow, the deity is so beautiful. I said, but do you know the guru? You know, but this, so they're more in the mood that regardless of who the guru may be or what he's teaching, we are accepting Prabhupada's teachings, and the deities are so beautiful, so why not go? And also when they go there, everybody, you know, many people in the temple are saying Hare Krishna. In fact, almost everybody that I've talked to in the Indian community that has gone there thinks it's an ISKCON temple. Because they came, like they've modeled it after Prabhupada, and they use almost all of Prabhupada's philosophy except that highest level, which most people don't even care about. Most people don't even care about it. You know, or about reading or what this guru's done or anything. Just like when you see them come here, they'll walk right past Prabhupada. And, you know, if you give somebody a book and you ask them a year later, have you read the book? It'll mostly, the response is, well, I don't really have time for that or something like that, you know. So what, you know, in the face of, we're discussing here deeply into the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but what would be your response? Because, I mean, I'm kind of like torn now. This place has become extremely popular. You know, thousands of people are going there. And, you know, people are saying Hare Krishna. The deities are very beautiful. So why not go?
But you're saying that they are following some of Srila Prabhupada's.
They're following everything
teachings.
Up to the point except that the guru is saying that he's Radharani and he's incarnation.
That is the problem.
Lord Chaitanya.
That's a problem.
But nobody cares. Nobody even thinks about it. Like anybody I brought that up to, they think like, oh my God, why are you even talking about that? Look at the Radha Krishna deities. Look at the temple and the whole community's here. And people are saying Hare Krishna. You know?
They're missing the whole point of who Krishna is. Whether they understand what's unfortunate is that some of them may not be taking the time out to discover the source of what the temple's principles are built upon, and particularly for those that know that there is a guru, even though he's recently passed away, are there pictures still of the this guru in the temple? And there, you know, and there's a belief that there was someone that walked the earth just recently who thinks they're Lord Chaitanya or Radharani. I have a problem there. because they're not getting the true teachings. They're not really able to connect with the Lord. Yes, you can say Hare Krishna. Do you understand why you're saying Hare Krishna? Do you understand who Radha is and that Radha is an extension of Krishna? Loving potency. Do you understand who Krishna is? You can have these forms up here and they look very nice and you chant Hare Krishna, but you need to understand the foundation of the teachings of why they're even there. What are they about? What is their history? What is their real, genuine history? That's very disturbing. And the point is, there are going to be some people that think this is it. I'm saying Hare Krishna. Why? What does it mean to you? We need to, the teachings in the scriptures, are they reading the scriptures? What are they reading? I have to wonder, what are they reading? Or what is the person that's following this guru? What are their teachings? What are they reading? What are they teaching these people?
Nothing. You just come, take prasad, chant Hare Krishna, and see the deity, and go.
Nothing. Why? Has no connection.
Why do you need to read so much?
There's no, because one has to know that there is more to life than what is going on with them at that particular moment. Yes, I'm coming to the temple and I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and I'm taking prasadam, and then what?
Why
Where does
you,
it go?
Why do you need a book to prove to you that this person is or is not God? He's claiming to be God. Why don't you accept it on that? Why do you need a book? And what's a, why
one
you,
needs
who
to,
even reads anyway?
One needs to understand who they are, where they've come from. Other than the fact that Big Bang Theory, I'm here. That's what happened. That's why I'm here. I don't need to know anything. That one seems to be comfortable in the mode of ignorance. You're not stretching. You're not trying to grow. You're not going anywhere. What happens after all the chanting is done?
You go home and take care.
Then what?
Let's take care of your family.
So,
don't worry so much.
So what happens when you come across a difficult situation in life? What do you do? Who do you go to? Who do you call upon? What do you hold on to? What has held you lifetime after lifetime, whether you realize it or not? At some point, people are going to come to the understanding that maybe at that particular, because I don't want to, I'm not going to, I don't want to say anything offensive, but I automatically have a problem with someone that believes that they're God.
You know, everything, I mean, it's surprising because so many of these men and women are highly educated, engineers, doctors, lawyers, so on and so forth. In like every field of, you know, knowledge, there's standard textbooks that, you know, explain everything. If you want to know what a mango tree is, right? So it's there, right? The leaves, the taste of the fruit. You know, if you want to study chemicals, you know, there's all the descriptions are chemicals, like potassium cyanide, right? It's listed there. So, you know, it says no taste. Why? Because no one's ever tasted it before, because if you taste it, you're instantly dead. You instantly die. But all the descriptions and everything that we do in life, we have a standard textbook that gives you the symptoms, this and that. So like when Lord Chaitanya was asked, how do you know who God is? He said, based on the scripture, there's descriptions, you know, how he looks with the emblems on his feet and his hands, his pastimes, his associates, you know, all these different things, his teachings and so forth. There's standard textbooks. But what I see is, on all the material topics, everybody's following these standard texts and authorities, but when it comes to spiritual life, what do you need a textbook for? Why do you need Bhagavad Gita anyway? And what's the difference between your Gita and anybody else? It's how you feel. It's all about your bhav. You see Krishna, you feel love. That is already bhakti.
Why would you get to that point in life and not want to know who Krishna is? If you've gone to school to study to be an engineer, to be a doctor, or lawyer, whatever, why would you come to a building or an institution where the forms in front of you are Radha and Krishna? Who are they? Where do they come from? What are they about? Why would you not want to know who they are? Why would you just go with the temporary mood of coming in, enjoying, and then going away? Then what have you walked away with? There's such emptiness. There is such depth in studying and understanding who the Lord is. There is such a connection. It's empty. Otherwise, that's what I would feel, empty.
I think you hit it right on the head.
I don't know, but that's what I would feel, empty.
The mood of coming in into the temple and worshiping Krishna for your own enjoyment, as opposed to developing your actual love and service. I think you hit it. I think that's the root of this. Yeah, I think that's the root of this.
That's interesting, though. I didn't know about that. But I heard that temple was going to be built. I didn't know it had been built.
July 4th was the grand opening.
Oh, so it is recent. Did not know that that was the belief behind the foundation. I wonder if that's still going on, if that's still the belief, you know, that that person was, and maybe somebody else that comes in that fills that position can be. Who are they kidding?
I mean, it was even during Prabhupada's time, so many came up, right?
Oh, yes, yes,
right?
Yes, I do recall hearing that and reading it too, yes.
There was a group of two intellectuals, they met Prabhupada in Mexico City, and they asked Prabhupada about different gurus. Mm. And Satsrup Maharaj once asked Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to write a book criticizing all the different bogus gurus, and Prabhupada told him, don't write that, because when you hit a skunk, you get a bad smell on your hand. But when they asked Prabhupada the question, normally Prabhupada would never attack the person. He
True.
Would say, well, what is his philosophy?
True.
And Prabhupada would attack the philosophy. But in
exactly.
this particular conversation, Prabhupada says, oh, they said, what about such a Sai Baba? Prabhupada said he's a cheater. He's claiming to be God.
Yeah, yeah.
He said,
yeah.
It's obvious, right? Like you were pointing out, you know, we can't be the controllers, you know, how can we
never.
Be God? And then they ask about, what about Guru Maharaj? He said he's also a cheater. He's claiming to be God. Then they said, well, what about transcendental meditation? Prabhupada said there's nothing transcendental about it. And Prabhupada said all they talk about is the mind and the body, controlling the senses and the mind. He said transcendental means to discuss the spiritual world and God. And then they say, well, he calls it transcendental meditation. He said, you can call anything you want, whatever you want. And then, there was a discussion with Prabhupada like that, you know.
Mm.
See, I just feel like when I started to bring these points up, even to my friends, or to my friend in this particular context, you know, it's like, it creates a sense of being, it's quite uncomfortable. You know, like, why even go there? You know, why don't we just be friends and not even discuss this deeply, you know, and just enjoy, you know, going to the new temple and, you know, offering whatever we can to, you know, encourage and facilitate this.
No, because when you've been given something knowledgeable, special, unique, you don't just sit on it. You give it to others, to whom much is given, much is expected. When you have this knowledge and you come across someone that is spouting something inferior, no, you don't want to tear them apart and rip them apart, but it's your responsibility, because obviously they are not very well educated in God consciousness, to explain to them what is real or what the real deal is. Instead of just going through life, la, 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 and then they get to be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, then it's like,
I wonder what this is all about. Why sit on that information and not share it with someone, especially when you know that someone does not have the correct information? We just let them slide? It's our responsibility, as we are spiritual warriors now. This is our battlefield. We may not be on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but we are spiritual warriors, and we have an obligation in Kali Yuga to explain, share God consciousness, Krishna consciousness with people. That is our responsibility, especially when we've been given the utmost intelligent information from the scriptures, from the Lord's mouth. We have a responsibility, and we shouldn't take it lightly, no matter what looks glamorous or no matter what is bigger than what we may currently have. Long story short, we need to set people straight. I don't know if that people like hearing that, but that's it. We have a responsibility. We are warriors. People may not like what we do, but there is a positive purpose behind it. And that is our birthright. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ranjit.
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda.